Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Can You Edit That Out? Today's guests are the Punsters, which is made up of Jake Dishroon, Brittany Herzbrunn, and Raul Zambrano. And Raul and Jake had started comedy a little bit after me, and I didn't really know them until I started listening to the podcast and then got to know them more closely after that. And then I met Brittany when they had me as a guest on their episode. And those episodes are still out there if you guys want to check them out. If anybody hasn't heard, The Punsters is a fun podcast to listen to. Features a bunch of different San Diego comedians. And it's not going anymore, but you know, I'm good friends with everybody from the Punsters now, so I thought it'd be cool to get them back together for an episode of Can You Edit That Out? Really get a nice conversation going with them. And it's a very long episode. I really couldn't cut too much out of it because we had so many guests on there, and I wanted to be able to really get in deep with each person. And I don't know, maybe I'll do individual episodes for everybody later, but I thought this was fun, and hope you guys enjoy it.
So we're supposed to be talking about podcasts.
Is that going to happen? Is
that very where we're loosely? Going? I mean, there is a topic, but it's not. We don't ever stick to the topic. I care more about the other stuff, but I guess we'll start light. And
we'll start light.
Podcasting's pretty light.
Podcasting's light. So you guys used to have a podcast.
Yes. Yep. Sure did.
And anybody want to say what that's about?
No, I think we're done.
I mean, it wasn't. There was no structure to it. It was an hour of us fucking around with a guest.
Yeah.
One time you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple times previous guests. Specifically Matt Lockwood. Shout out to that piece of shit. But yeah, I mean, there was no structure to it. I think it was. I don't remember if we conceived it with a structure.
I think we started with a little bit of structure. We're like, oh, let's do
we
like this.
We thought we
and
would
and
do segments sometimes, yeah. But yeah. We never really ended up doing that.
But then we realized it was more fun to just kind of
because
have no structure.
We did play that game a couple times. Jar Jar, was it?
Yeah. Jar Jar and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Jar Jar Obi-Wan. I think we planned on having that argue with Valerio thing that we never did, I'm really pleased about that.
I'm glad he never got involved. Yeah. I think that was maybe our best call.
There's a couple, too, where you guys would have somebody off mic ask questions, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Justin.
Yeah. Sometimes I liked that. But
that was fun.
Yeah.
It seemed like you guys kind of like resorted to that when you ran out of conversation.
Yeah. That's definitely
that's fair.
The safety.
Yeah.
It was just a little safety net, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What happened? Why did you guys stop doing it?
Mostly scheduling, I think. It was just kind of hard to you know, get everyone together. Plus, it was a lot of work specifically for me and me only. Because it's just like, there's just a lot of things that would, you know, come. Like I had to edit everything and stuff. And that
yes, he edited the whole thing. Yeah. That's why he said him and him only.
Yeah.
Yes.
And uploaded it, right?
And uploaded it. And tried to do all the promotion for it and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's mostly the scheduling thing. Yeah. Otherwise, it wasn't that bad. Once I figured it out, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, eventually you just, you know. What do you think, Jake?
No, scheduling was definitely what made me lose interest. Because getting three hosts, us, plus a guest, plus none of us had an apartment, so we'd have to, like,
try to find a place to do
either record at the guest's place or another a third party.
Yeah.
And that got more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially we all had jobs with wildly different schedules. So it was such a pain in the ass. Yeah. And yeah, it was much easier to not do it, like most things.
Do you guys have any plans on doing another podcast?
I'm trying to figure some stuff out. I think it's just, it is kind of, once you do figure it out, and, you know, that whole thing I feel like was a learning experience, and then I do want to do another podcast, you know, and just I kind of have an ideas for a few, but I think, it was just kind of like trying to, you know, work it out and figuring out what you want to do. You know?
Yeah.
Because everything else, especially the podcast here is just everything feels like the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and there's only so many things you can talk about.
Yeah. And plus, you know, we all kind of dive into like similar topics and all that. And so it's just kind of hard to figure out a podcast that's entertaining for everybody and not just comics. and or maybe, you know, something useful, you know, so it's just kind of hard to figure out what that idea is.
Yeah. But so, yeah. You guys.
Like together, you mean?
No, just in general. Like any, do you ever want to do another podcast again? Or do you want to try to do a podcast like on your own or even try to get the group back together, anything like that?
I mean, I don't think I could do a podcast unless I did it with one of them. Nobody wants to hear me.
We're our main draw, Brittany. What are you talking about? We've got 700, probably 550 reviewers, you know, and then the other ones are coming.
I don't know. I mean, I would do it again, but now we have Jake's apartment. But
yeah.
I mean, I feel like I was the one who lost the least amount of interest, but I also think that's because I don't have anything else. Like, not anything else, but I mean, like, I guess
they have comedy.
Yeah, that was my only way of even like staying in the sort of like scene, I guess, a little bit was by doing that. And so they had all the other stuff. So I like they probably didn't really care that much. And
no, I mean, it was fun, but it just got to be more. It was more annoying than it was fun at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, if we had no scheduling conflicts, sure, I'd continue to do it. But to try to figure out everyone's... Because it usually was so difficult just to even figure out when people had things to do.
Yeah.
Not even just, like, we need to pick a time, but just texting one another, are you free this day? And then, you know, you were confirmed with everybody, and then one person's like, I gotta
like,
work.
Even just scheduling this podcast was...
It was difficult.
A fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine doing that weekly.
Yeah, and it's difficult. So I mean, it just like with me and me trying to do a podcast with Schrader was difficult. Mm. Right. Just one person.
Yeah.
It's like you guys have three people plus the guest. It's very hard.
Yeah.
I think it would work a lot better if we didn't have like a weekly thing or like feel pressure to release it every week. If we were like once in a while, we would do it.
But I think, I mean, like the way that we're doing, like you and me are, and Gordon every Friday meeting up at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the longest I've ever done anything with a group of people ever.
Yeah. And it's surprisingly gone very, like,
very few Fridays.
Yeah. More or less.
Some listeners might know what you're talking about.
Oh,
nah,
sorry.
I'm just saying, like, would you think a schedule like that would have worked out for you guys to, like, have a consistent...
I mean, but it was just hard because it would change...
Your schedules would change constantly.
Our schedules would change
constantly.
My
schedule was consistent, but I think they worked different hours.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, mine was wildly different. It was no 2 weeks were the same. But now, after Sunday, I won't have a job, so...
Oh, I actually didn't know that. I got laid off, too. So now we should just do a podcast every day.
Well, I'm going to be a Lyft driver.
Oh, well...
Yeah, that could
do
be the
podcast.
Do
a podcast during the Lyft.
Yeah.
Oh. The person you pick up will be the person you interview.
Yeah. Dude, that'd be actually kind of interesting. That'd be really... Well, also would be really weird.
That would be cool.
Okay.
Brittany likes
to... This sounds like so much work for me.
I'm inviting myself. How about me and you do it, and then Raul will edit it.
Okay. All right.
Damn it. How'd I get myself into this again?
But do you guys think the podcast did anything positive for you guys?
Yes.
What did it do for
you? Well, it was just, we were at a time where, you know, me and Jake were pretty new to the scene, so it was just kind of a useful tool to get to know more comics and more people, you know? Like, like we didn't really know Jeffrey Berner when he did our podcast, you know? That was pretty much our you know, first time really meeting Jeffrey Berner. This was just fun to just get to know people and just have a certain rapport.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just, and plus, you know, we had something to present to the scene, like, hey, we're doing this, you know? So
yeah.
It was just kind of.
Yeah, I met Berner on the podcast, and now we are sitting in our apartment.
Yeah.
That's
a beautiful story.
Yeah.
It's a classic tale. Tale as old as time. But, yeah, I mean, there are definitely a lot of... When I look at the guests we had, there are a lot of people that we would both not be as good friends with if they hadn't been on the show.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that.
I mean, I met you doing it, and now we're making your movie together. So.
See?
Yeah. Okay, so I guess it...
And you get nice little stories out of it, you know?
Like what?
Fuck. I said that with one in mind, and I'm like, I can't talk about
that. Was it what we were talking about earlier?
Yes, okay. But also, no, but also...
Like if
someone
if a guest were to walk you to your car...
Oh my God.
After... I'm not thinking of anybody in particular,
right.
But like, say,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But
say, hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
If there was a guy...
You named. Have to know the story, David. You're
I don't think
confused.
I do.
All right, there's a guy...
in the world.
There's a guy in the world who was on our podcast. Uh-huh. And... he did the show. The show ended, and then he asked one of us He could walk us, walk them to their car.
Yeah.
It could be any of us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember who it was. Yeah. I can't even remember. But they got to her car, whoever she was, and a courtship was intended to follow. Somebody asked another one of them, another person out. And now they're married. So congratulations.
Let's all clap.
So. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
So some negatives came from the podcast.
Do you want me to tell a story? I feel like I'm like, no, okay.
No, we can move on. I'm just, so.
That wasn't a negative. That's a great story.
Yeah, it was a negative for them probably. But
do you feel there was any negatives for you guys? Jake, maybe?
Oh, Jake. Jake might have a negative.
Well, I mean, there were some people. There was one guy, a couple guys, who I may have been a little hard on. This kid. And then there was another guy who I was on his podcast.
Yeah.
And people said that I was mean to him.
So you come off badly on podcasts.
I guess I do. I must. People, many people have said I'm condescending. Everybody I've ever met said that to me.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't know, man.
Thank you.
The thing is,
honestly, I heard of the podcast before I met you. And we'd only talked once at ACC.
That's crazy.
And I thought that I wasn't going to like you.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on the podcast?
Based on the podcast.
Wow, ooh. You're unlikable.
I know.
But now now that I know you, and if I listen back to that, like, I don't know what I thought at the time listening to it.
Yeah, it's funny because I can see how people who don't know him can say that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that you are.
Don't get it either. Now looking back on it, but I really did at the time think, I don't know, I remember hearing you say things sometimes and I'd be like, oh, this guy's a dick.
Was it on our show or was it on... when I was a guest on somebody else's show,
with the one that you did with somebody else, I don't feel like you were being anything negative in that.
Okay,
but I don't remember. I remember in a couple episodes of the Punsters, you saying something. So when the first time I met you, I was like expecting you to be kind of like a different way, and you weren't like that at all.
See, this is so funny because when I listen to the old episodes, it seems like other people are much meaner to me.
Yeah.
than I am to others.
I know.
I'm not going to point any fingers or anything.
I feel like
it's
even.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't remember ever taking shots at people.
You know what? That's funny. That's super fair, too. That's super true.
Yeah. I'm not even mad about it or anything, but I don't remember listening to the show and being like, wow.
I'd really have to
I wish
back.
I hadn't said that.
I'd really have to look back to try to listen to what was going on. I don't know. It's so long ago that I don't really remember, but I do... when we were going to film that sketch together, I really did think that you were going to be somehow different and you were not. The way that you came off on the podcast just, I guess, wasn't the way that you are in real life.
We were going to film a sketch together?
We did the Valentine's Day sketch with Jamie in downtown. That was the first time we hung out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
God, what a terrifying time.
I had fun that day.
It was fun.
But I mean, we did almost have to get in a fight with that drunk guy.
Yeah.
That wasn't fun, but...
yeah, I mean, you almost choked a guy. That was...
yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, David's a badass.
Was that a sexy noise?
Yeah, ooh. It was like, cool.
Dave choked somebody. Yeah, that was... I was experiencing a lot of anxiety in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
But, somebody else we were with, they were fine. Anyway, let's, I can't, maybe I am a jerk. I can't stop talking shit about people. Anytime anyone comes up, I'm like, yeah, fuck them too. Now that I think about it.
To be fair, it's a lot of fun. Jake, I feel you.
I know, it's so fun, right? I don't care what Matt Lockwood said on the show. Talking shit is so fun.
He did say that. He said talking shit is fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is unrelated. I don't give a fuck what he said. Fuck him.
I was the one that was... being anti-talking shit. But
are you anti-talking shit?
In a different context. Not like in the talking shit about horrible people that we dislike.
Yeah.
I just mean like an overall negativity towards certain groups of people.
I've never enjoyed talking shit as much as when I started comedy. Is that the same for you?
Yeah.
Because you have a good reason to hate somebody, but I feel like with certain groups getting excessive, we're like, you dislike more people than you like people.
Well, there's a lot of competition involved, so that amplifies things.
Yeah, but I just feel like that sucks.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
I don't know. I feel like I kind of learned my lesson with your crop of comics, like the class of 2013. 2013. Like, you know, I'd been doing it for a year, and then new people come in and are like really good. And like my immediate reaction was to kind of dislike a bunch of people. And like now that I'm friends with everybody, I'm like, how stupid was that? But now people are doing the same thing to the 2014 people. So it just seems like.
But to be fair, most of them were terrible.
Yeah. See, God. I mean, I have had this exact thought. I've thought, this is so mean.
I think our year was an anomaly, man. 2013 comics?
Yeah.
We're all pretty good.
Maybe. I don't know. Because I've
right,
I,
Brittany. This is the other fun part.
I'm just listening to like ego. How people are gonna take.
But
this.
No, but like, this is what I mean. Like even the 2013 people are shitting on each other.
Yeah.
And the 2012 people are shitting on the 2012 people. It's just like people that are good shitting on other people for being good, but not the way they like it. That's what I mean. I don't mean talking shit about that shitty new guy that bombed on stage and making fun of him. That seems fine, but. You know, if you're talking about how he sucks at comedy, but then when it starts getting into other territories, that's where I feel like it's a little excessive. When a person's doing well on stage and then everybody outside is talking shit about them, then I feel like that's too much.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I do understand what you mean. And there are a lot of people who talk shit about their peers for reasons that I don't necessarily understand. And then I join in because why not? But... But it is, it's also fun. Yeah. Like sometimes it can be too much.
Yeah.
Where it creeps into the territory of actively disliking them.
Yeah.
But just talking shit about your friends is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's fine.
Who do you feel like talking shit to right now? Go ahead, Jake. I'll give you permission.
Probably Nick Crosby. I don't like that guy. No, I'm not making a joke. I think he's bad. As a human being, as a comedian, he refused to give me a shout out on this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
After I specifically didn't ask him to. God, I hope he listens.
No,
this is going to be such
did.
A waste of time.
I think you did ask him to, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay, maybe that was. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
No, he just listed off a bunch of comics that started like at the exact same time as me that he liked.
You just want one of them.
He was like, oh, yeah, like really like Shane Brendan and Jimmy Calloway and Jamie and Matt Lockwood. I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, all the guys that I started within 60 days of, uh-huh. Didn't get to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Jake.
No, it's fine.
We'll make sure to talk about you more on the following episode.
See, I want to pretend like that wouldn't make me happy. I want to be cooler than that, but I'm not. I'm very petty.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Okay. Yeah, what's so cool about like podcast shout-outs? I get so excited. Just like, this guy mentioned my name.
Yeah, it's very stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I have no
like
idea.
I was excited for Jimmy Calloway. Not even his name was mentioned, but his presence was mentioned
in Douglas
movies. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, that guy.
Yeah, they just said, there's a new comic who wears a suit who opened for me. I was like, yeah.
We know him.
That's my friend.
Nice.
And I guess I said he was funny or whatever, but
that's pretty exciting.
How are you doing, Brittany?
Do you feel like you have got any positives out of the podcast besides what you said before?
Oh, about you?
Yeah.
I mean, I met people. It was fun to do. I felt like towards the end, like I don't know, I started to listen to it back and be like, God, like stop talking. Like I couldn't stand listening to myself. Like towards the end, like I thought I talked too much, and I was like I'm giving opinions on things I shouldn't even be giving opinions about. So I started to like just be like, I don't even really want to talk that much anymore. So towards the end, it became kind of like a little weird for me, I guess. And I sort of felt like I didn't know what to say to anybody anymore. But overall, I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
I don't remember you talking too much or I didn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not during the podcast.
We just, Raul notoriously never talked enough.
That's true.
So.
I did.
You had to make up for you picking up the slack.
So, you're doing really great tonight.
Oh.
Just want to compliment you.
Thanks.
People call me condescending. Did you guys hear that?
Do you feel like Because you guys especially talked about, I mean, I guess you guys did most of the talking, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But Brittany, yeah. You talked a lot about yourself in maybe not the most positive way. Is there anything on there that you kind of like feel weird about having revealed about yourself? I don't think so because you're pretty open, but I'm just curious.
I'm trying to even think. I don't think so. There was one story that Raul told about me that I made him cut out, which is weird because I can't even remember. Oh, yeah, I do. Actually, I remember. I'm not going to tell it, but he, yeah.
That would defeat the purpose. Like, oh, is this story? Yeah.
And which is weird because usually, like I said, I'm very open, but I didn't know he was going to tell it. And yeah. I just like thought it was weird timing. Weird. So it's like, I would prefer if he didn't. But yeah. I mean, there are things obviously that I'm like, oh, that's kind of embarrassing, but whatever. Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I could tell more embarrassing things today, dude.
Well, I don't know if it's so much the embarrassing stuff as it is. Like, you're very much open as a person about talking about your faults.
Oh yeah,
in a very interesting way.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if there was anything like that happening. What about you guys? Did you feel like you ever said anything?
I don't know. I don't remember. There's certain jokes I wish I hadn't made because they didn't work.
One,
for example.
Which one?
What I just said.
Oh.
I don't really remember revealing too much about myself as a person. I don't think I did. Not that I wouldn't, but I just don't care that much about me. I don't find myself that interesting.
I didn't really talk enough to like find, you know, some revealing thing.
Yeah, you really didn't say that.
I think it was just at a point where like, I don't know. I have a certain amount of social anxiety and stuff.
Yeah.
Bringing a guest in whom I don't know very much makes me kind of uptight just because like, you know, like I admire whoever is on the guest. Or I mean, the people who I felt most comfortable with, it was someone that I felt it was a peer. And the people who came in, like, you know, Bill Doe, who I still look up to, you know, whatever. So it's just hard for me to get comfortable. And so I get shy.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, in the corner, I get shy. And, I try to tell some stories, you know, about myself and stuff. And I don't really regret any of it.
Yeah.
Some of them were pretty out there. But yeah, I mean, it was just, I think it's kind of fun just sharing. What did you just mime?
I just said out there. But
yeah.
I think Raul and I can agree that like our one big regret is probably just that we didn't make fun of Jake being bald enough.
That's true.
Well, I was less bald at the time. It's fair. Nobody's
perfect.
We should
get it out of the way today.
Yeah.
All of it. You know?
All right.
No, actually, whoa. I think it looks good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That wasn't.
She's not being condescending or anything. She means it.
I really did mean it.
I know she means it.
Like, I know I wasn't making eye contact
you don't,
with you.
Anybody else want to?
Don't look convinced.
Compliment me.
Uh huh. No, Brittany means
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Okay,
all right. Well, do you guys want to get like take a quick break to get some mimosa refills?
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
Right,
no,
Jake. The hair looks.
Like, yeah. So I did you guys this podcast role. You were not there.
was Jamie in my place?
Yeah.
In my stead?
Yeah.
She was, yes. And that was an interesting day.
Jamie Sombrero.
Because you guys did inspire me to start doing this podcast.
Oh, really?
I did also almost quit comedy because of it.
Because of our podcast?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it felt shitty listening to it afterwards. And I felt like I've always been very good at having these interesting in-depth conversations with people about philosophy and like what makes us human, really existential conversations about things.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like that's the thing that I'm good at. And I remember at the time Ryan Hicks used to do this joke about how it's really stupid to follow your dreams. It's like if you're a doctor and you're trying to follow your dreams of being a singer, like you're letting a bunch of people die because you're being selfish by not being a doctor, not doing what you're good at. And I was like, I remember that happening and being like, God, I'm so not funny at all. Like, I'm not naturally good at being the guy that makes jokes. I'm just good at, like, having, like, these discussions. I'm like, what am I doing with myself? Wasting all this. Not that I'm saying, like, Jesus. I'm fulfilling my potential by doing this now. I don't think that's true at all, but I'm...
Right, you wouldn't want to say anything positive about yourself, even for a second.
I wouldn't dare do such a terrible thing. So yeah, but so thank you, and also fuck you guys, I guess. But
I wasn't involved.
You
so.
Were not involved. No,
hands
it was,
are clean
it,
here.
Overall, I think it was good, but
I really think that the good parts that came out of that were because of our conversation, and the bad things that came out of it were because of the editing. So I mean,
did I do that? Stuff get taken out?
No.
I don't think
I'm
so.
Just blaming it on him.
Sorry, I thought we actually like.
No, well, do I need to tell you that that's ridiculous?
No, I don't want
to. Okay.
You know, I feel like that would go too much into, like, you trying to make me feel better, which I don't want that at all.
No, I mean, I wouldn't give you a lecture or anything, but, yeah, come on.
Nah, but I think what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm interested in that idea of trying to chase after this thing that you think you're good at. So, you know, obviously I'm like trying to pursue something despite my insecurities, and I know everybody here is trying to pursue something. So I'm just curious as to like what are the difficulties that you guys face, you with comedy, you with what you're doing, just in general, whatever, life, even in life, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Boy. I knew this was going to get sad. Jeffrey told me it was going to get sad, and I tried to argue with him, but he was right. I don't think I could relate to somebody who was doing comedy at, you know, at the level that we are, who didn't feel insecure about being funny enough. Like, if people don't have that, I really don't know what is wrong with them. Because I think people who have no fear of inadequacy are probably psychopaths, right? Like I can think of a handful of comics who probably don't think that way. They're all terrible at comedy and
in
life.
They're self-aware.
Yeah, they're so convinced that they're the next fucking great thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my thing. I'm also very lazy. That's probably I think that's the thing I've struggled with the most in my life.
Why are you so lazy?
I don't even know, man. I haven't given it a lot of thought.
Do you have like a lot of drive for what you're doing?
I have a lot of ambition. I don't know if drive is really, because I mean that kind of comes and goes. Like there'll be a month where I'm like, I gotta fucking hit every open mic. I'm doing every show I possibly can. I'm asking people if I can do their shows. And then it'll just take like 1 week of not writing anything that I care about. And then I'm like, it's not even I decide to give up on it. I'm just like, yeah, why should I go to a mic tonight?
Yeah.
What would be the point? I haven't written anything. Even if it goes well, it's going to be old material. Who cares? I beat myself up in that way. Yeah. But I'm just sad.
But this passion that you have for comedy doesn't come with like an urgency to like try to do as much as you can. Like, what do you do when you're not trying to pursue comedy or whatever it is? Are you trying to do anything else?
Trying to do anything else?
What do you do to keep yourself occupied?
You heard of Netflix?
Uh huh.
That's a lot of that.
Do you feel guilty doing that?
No. Not as much as I should.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I will feel like a sort of meta guilt about, like, why do I not feel shitty about this? Which is weird, but it's fine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm at a point now where I'm like, I am going to do whatever I can to do as much comedy as is reasonably possible. Which is, I mean, I've quit my current job for comedy. I'm going to try to work at the Comedy Store. I broke up with someone specifically for a comedy. So I'm pretty committed.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not I actually have the drive, it's like this is definitely the most I've cared about anything or anyone, quite frankly. So, yeah.
So do you ever get like, I don't know, does it Does it ever get you down when you think that despite all these efforts, it's not going to go anywhere? Or do you feel like you're not doing enough to make it happen?
Yes and no. I mean, I kind of look at it like I'm in it for the long haul. So speed is not I don't really care about getting mm-hmm. everything I want as fast as I possibly can. I care more about getting better. Like, I want to get better fast, but I also am aware that's something that just takes time. Like, it takes effort too, but time. And I've heard so many comics that I look up to talk about how it took them 10 years to have any measure of success or to even start writing jokes that they liked. Like, okay, I can be patient.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my one strength. Like, it's been a year and a half or so. I'm like, oh, I can see doing this for 8.5 more years.
If it wasn't this, would it have to be something else? Or do you think you could, like, if you had never discovered comedy, would you have been content just watching Netflix?
No. Oh, God, no. So, yeah. No.
So you'd need to do something then.
Yeah, if I had zero creative outlet, it would, because that's what I had before I started doing comedy.
Yeah.
Boy, I was miserable.
Yeah.
It was terrible. So if it wasn't stand-up, it would be something.
Yeah.
I'm committed to stand-up now, but if I hadn't discovered it,
you'd have to find something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just be so miserable if I just, okay, maybe I'll just have a regular job.
It looks like as if you owe someone a thank you for pushing you to that direction.
Yeah, I want to give a big thank you to Pete Holmes, who...
damn it!
It's funny because Raul basically forced me to do my first open mic.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. We're at...
Is that why that's funny, Jake?
Is there another reason?
No. Okay. I was just checking.
No, that was at the Madhouse. Cameron Dyson hosted.
You were there to see Raul or what?
No,
we
had been talking about doing comedy for a long time, and you'd been doing it for like 5 months or something before I started. And then I gave myself some deadline, and I started calling into the Madhouse. Mm-hmm. I think I did it 2 or 3 times, and I didn't get on the list. And then I did get on the list, and I'm like, maybe next week. And you're like, no, fuck you. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And we went, and I got up, and then... I guess the rest is history. Became
now you are here. Now
I'm easily in the top 300 comedians in San Diego. So
definitely top 300 for sure.
Thank you, David.
All right, what about you, Brittany? Do you?
Yeah, let me be quiet for a long time.
can you relate to any of this concept that we're talking about right now in terms of like? You trying to escape a normal life by doing other things and the struggle of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just hard. Like, I hate whenever anybody asks what I want to do because...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, even now, I'm like, it feels weird for me to say that I want to act because I know that I don't try enough to do it as I should.
Well, why is that?
I think it's a mixture of fear and depression. Like, my depression makes me not care to do anything at all. And then I'm like, no, it's fine. I'll just stay home all day. I'll stay in bed. Like, I don't care. And then the fear is that, like, I think that I'm bad at it. Or I think that, I think with stuff that I care about, if I'm not good at it right away, like, I think I'll never be good at it. Mm-hmm. So I have I have a lot of like I get pangs of fear when I watch TV or movies and like my stomach just drops and I feel like sick where I'm like, I could never do that. Like, if I was in that scene,
yeah,
I could never do that. And I'm just like, what the fuck am I going to do if I don't do that? Because that's the only thing I've ever even liked enough to say, like, I would want to do something. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I should be auditioning and I should be doing stuff. And I feel like doing your thing, at least I'm doing something. But, you know, I need to do more.
Yeah.
Like Raul said that he would take headshots for me. And I have, like, how easy would it be to go to my friend Raul's house, who lives 10 minutes away from me, yeah. and get free headshots, but yeah. I've not done that. You know what I mean? It's yeah. just self-sabotage, pretty much.
Yeah.
If I felt like I was good, though.
Well, you said you give up on things that you don't feel like you're good at, so you think you're good at acting, then.
No, I don't. I mean, I just, like, I mean, I took that class for a while. Acting is one thing, like, there are a lot of areas in my life where, like, at my job, I knew I was good at my job. Like, if you tell me I'm good at my job, yeah, I know, thanks. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I'm sorry. but I don't care about that. Or, like, but when people tell me, like, oh, you did well in that scene, I'm like, no, I didn't. Like, I really don't feel it. Like, yeah. so it's just hard for me to want to do an audition when I feel like I'm going to do really badly. If I had, like, any sort of, like, I really have a handle on this scene, like, I think I'll do well, I think that I would do it. But I just feel like I'm really terrible at it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you occupy your time? Do you feel like you need an outlet?
You know, it's funny, like, especially now not working, like, or even when I was working on weekends, I mean, and this probably has, like I said, a lot to do with, like, depression. I don't know what to do, like, with my days. I feel like I plan my days, like, to the easiest it's going to be to, like, get through them. Like, I'll do this then, and then maybe I'll nap for, like, 4 hours, and then I'll shower, but I'll take longer than I need to because that'll take up time. Like, I, you know, like, yeah. I don't know what to do, so I just try and do a bunch of nothing and then go to sleep and do it all over again the next day. So that, yeah, no, I don't know. What was the question?
So you don't do anything then?
I mean, I read a lot. Like, I go,
yeah,
I work out.
And I mean, in terms of you trying to, like, pursue something.
Oh.
What are you trying to do with yourself?
Well, I was doing the acting class, but I stopped that in January because it is for reasons that nobody cares about. But just having to do with that specific class. And I just started taking vocal lessons, which isn't something that I think I'm going to actually, like, do anything with. But I thought it would be an interesting yeah. way to pass time. And I started that on Tuesday. Which is funny because that's something that I think would make people very nervous to do, but because it's not something that I actually care about, like, it wasn't hard for me to sing in front of her because I'm like, yeah, I'm bad. I don't care. Like, this isn't something, you know? So mm. it's just something, when you care about something, I think that's what makes it very difficult to
yeah.
put yourself out there. Like, even the comedy thing, like, I only did once, and I was telling you guys, like, oh, I thought of more jokes, and I don't think that I would, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if I would do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any, when you're, like, sitting around, mm-hmm. do you feel anything, like, any type of, like, urgency or pull, passion, anything that's pulling you to do something with yourself, or are you pretty content just doing what you're doing now?
I'm not content, but I don't feel a pull towards anything.
Yeah.
Like, I have zero motivation. Sometimes I feel fear. Like, I don't know what my life is going to be. Yeah. I have no idea.
But that fear doesn't drive you to try to do stuff about it?
I think it would if I weren't depressed. But, like, that depression, like, takes over everything. Like, yeah. I don't care. Like, I can't bring myself to care enough to do anything about it. So I just do the same thing over and over and yeah. over again.
So it kind of just paralyzes you instead of, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Raul.
Jesus. Good talk, you guys. Holy shit.
Let's hear all what right. stupid shit Raul.
Oh, man.
If yours isn't super sad, you look so dumb.
Like, I have to make it sad to conform to you guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
Ours was just really honest and personal. Uh-huh. Right. And so, you know.
No, I mean, we exposed who we really are to the world. But yeah, you go ahead and talk about video games or whatever, you fucking asshole. Yeah.
So oh, what man. About you, Raul? I feel like you're actually, like, you do a lot of stuff, don't you?
I do a lot of stuff.
Where does that come from? Where does that pull come from?
The pull to do stuff comes actually more from wanting the approval of my dad. That's where it comes from. Like, the face that Chick just made.
It's revealing it.
It's because, you know, like, my dad's, like, you know, he came from, like, Puebla, Mexico, you know, like, he came to bartend, essentially, and now it's been 26 years and he's still bartending, you know? So I just feel this pressure of, and this want to relieve him of his situation where like, look, I'm doing something. Also, here, have, you know, pay off for this shit that you've done for us and, you know, our family.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a big motivator for me. I'm just kind of like, man, I want to, you know, I want to prove my worth and also pay it back.
Yeah,
you know.
So, do you feel like you don't have his approval, or do you just want to? Are you motivated by trying to help him out?
It's a little bit of both. Well, no, I have his approval. Actually, no, I guess it's not because I know he'd be happy with anything that I do. You know, but
it's not convincing to you.
It's not always convincing. It's just because, you know, we have a little bit of a barrier, just because like a language barrier, we have a culture barrier. And so, I intellectually know that, you know, he approves of me and that he's proud of whatever I do. But, you know, inside I'm like, oh, like what if this isn't enough? You know, I want to do something impressive or do something, you know, that you know, will relieve of his current position of, like, you know, like trying to take care of us all and stuff, yeah. You know? And so, yeah. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I don't know that this is the case, but have you always felt like your brother was the better liked one or more like?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely have always.
You've noticed it too.
And it just started falling. And I've talked to him about it too. And
your brother or your dad?
My brother.
Oh.
Have you talked about it with your dad?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, no. It's like he's not necessarily the favorite, but I'm definitely the black sheep of the family, mm-hmm. You know, in the sense that I'm you know, searching for something creative to do, and also, you know, there's just little nicks and knacks where, like, I'm obviously different, you know, and
yeah.
So just, it's such an obvious, I'm such an obvious black sheep that it's sometimes hard to deal with, and sometimes hard to, like, because I would like to fit in my family, you know, but it's just hard.
Well, he has a straight job, right? He's an insurance.
He has a straight job. He's getting married in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's not something at all that I am wanting to do, really, you know. And so, but it's, you know, but obviously, like, he's making good money, you know, and he's already kind of in a position where, like, he's an adult, yeah. You know, and I'm not anywhere near that at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel that pressure too. But I have a lot of drive generally.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, like, I like when I do something, I want to do it the best, like the best. That's why, like, when doing the podcast, like, I don't want to just put it out there and hope people listen to it. I'm going to fucking shove it in people's faces.
Yeah.
That's why it was a lot of work for me, because, like, I didn't have to do that, but that's what I wanted, because, like, if we're going to do it, we're going to fucking do it,
yeah.
You know? And so, you know, in terms of podcasting, that's why I was, like, trying to put it in all these places and these others, like, you know, audio books and audio places and, you know, podcast forums and fucking, you know, or just putting in, you know, just random menus.
Yeah.
And that would just turn into a lot of work. And so it's back to, you know, why kind of like, you know, we kind of stopped was, you know, scheduling plus, like, it was just a lot of work for me. You know?
Yeah.
But I, you know, I can't help myself when it comes to that type of stuff. For some reason, I need to be the best.
Yeah. Now you're promoting a show also.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that kind of, I don't know where I learned that from. Part of it is my brother. My brother's always been like that too. Like,
yeah.
He's, you know, he even plays. He's played video games professionally, you know. I think I kind of learned it maybe from him, where I have to break things down to like a scientific level, where like I know the frame rates to Street Fighter 2, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think I learned it from him, but it's just a weird thing that I've always had, where like I need to be the best, and that's
yeah.
But I also have a lot of insecurity.
What are those? What are the insecurities?
I mean, obviously that I'm not as good as I think I am. That I'm delusional, and that like, or just like my biggest insecurity in comedy is not so much. I'm aware of how bad I am, but I'm also I have a good sense of how good I am. You know, but. But like my biggest insecurity is just like in comedy is more the social aspect of it, because I feel like I'm very unliked in a lot of groups, or just people don't care, like they're so indifferent about me, and
yeah.
They're just kind of just there, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of bums me out, just because I like to be part of the scene, but it's hard to when I have like that anxiety and that I just kind of sit there and just kind of like, you know, laugh at everyone, but don't really partake, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of hard.
I never hear anybody say they don't like you.
Here's the thing. I don't think it's such a strong dislike that people will say anything. What it is, it's such an indifference that people will say nothing, but also, you know, like they won't go out of the way to talk to me.
Like a disregard for you.
Yeah, in a sense. And then this is kind of like, and it's easy to notice, obviously, for me, but you know, but I guess it's not really a dislike. It's just kind of like, he's here, but I'm going to go talk to this guy instead, you know?
Do you feel like that worry about people not thinking anything of you, do you think that holds you back in any way? That insecurity, is that affecting you in your comedy or in the way you promote your shows or anything like that?
I don't know. It's hard to say just because I feel like it doesn't affect it at all. It doesn't affect how much I try to do comedy or want to do comedy or try to be as good. But it does affect on how much, it lowers the level of how willing I would be to quit, you know? Because for me, I would like to make an impression or make a, you know, stamp on the scene.
Yeah.
And because I feel that insecurity, it's like I don't feel like I'm doing that. And so I'm like, well, then what's the point? You know? And so it lowers that bar. And so, but it doesn't affect how much drive I have.
Yeah.
You know?
So these issues that you're having, your insecurities with comedy, you don't let them get in the way of you pursuing your goal then?
No.
That's good.
You know, but, you know, because I've always had a lot of natural drive. But
yeah.
But it definitely, you know. It's,
well, I mean, I feel like I have a lot of drive, but I feel like my insecurities do hold me back a lot.
Okay.
So, I mean, I try to do a lot of stuff and keep very, very busy, but it's just like that fear. Like, I like what you're saying, like, not that people dislike me, just that they don't think anything of me. That really does, like, I feel weird performing in certain places, or I feel weird trying to share what I did with people because I feel like they'll think it's shitty. So yeah, I mean, that's good that you don't have that. But you know, yeah, I mean, having, I don't think having drive necessarily eliminates that.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just, you know, I think we're all just kind of trying to work on those insecurities, like maybe, oh, you know, I mean, it's completely possible that's just something that I think is going on and it's not, and maybe, you know, people are fine with me. It's kind of, but I feel like I've always had a good social sense where, like, oh, I know exactly what this guy's thinking, you know, and it's just, it just bugs me because, yeah, like I said, you know, I want to have an impact in the scene. I like everybody, like, as much as most people talk shit or, you know, as much as I talk shit, like, I genuinely like pretty much everybody, you know. And so I even sometimes, you know, feel bad hearing someone talk shit about him. Like, oh, well, I mean, he's terrible, but I like the guy. You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Yeah. Was that sad enough for you guys? Was that good? Was that fulfilling?
Yeah.
Yours was the saddest.
So you guys with these things that you are feeling and experiencing, you feel out of place with most people?
With civilians?
Yeah. Have you always felt that way?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, at this point, the only time I really hang out with non-comics,
ABCs.
Usually, anybody before comedy, ABCs. Anytime I hang out with ABCs, it's usually my family.
Yeah.
And every time I'm around them, it like reinforces how little I have in common with them.
Yeah.
Like, not that I don't love them or whatever, but, you know, the things that they are interested in talking about, it, at a certain level, it blows my mind that someone could be interested enough about that, about church or what's going on at school or something like that. And I'm like, I can't believe, I mean, I believe you that you care, but it's sort of baffling to me that you don't want to talk about. I mean, I get not everybody wants to talk about comedy, but people don't want to talk about death or whether they believe in God or stuff like that. I mean, that's way more interesting than what church you went to.
Yeah. What is it about your brain, your whatever makes you that is just different from these other people? Like, why do you think, like, this lifestyle works for you that makes you happy to be trying to do something that's not just the everyday?
That's a really good question. That's a big question.
Good job, David. Big question.
I guess it's the drive to do something creative or comment on things or understand, like Pete Holmes talks about this in a podcast, the cosmic joke, like, you know, how absurd.
Yeah. But what do you think? What is it about you that note made you notice that?
Are you trying to get me to say that I think I'm smarter than everybody?
No.
I'll say it.
What's different from, like, what is your family lacking that they don't, or whatever?
Why
did their brain go one way and yours go the other? What is it about you that has like this weird thing that you are more interested in this other type of life and questioning things?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what it is, because it's just, really is a lack of interest in small talk, I guess. That's what most people want to talk about. I have no interest in that. Like, I am much more interested in talking about, and I don't know why this is. I don't know if there's some underlying thing about me. I mean, I'm sure there is, but I can't
figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's depression, because I think I'm definitely depressed. I've had that my whole life. I think many comics that I've talked to, almost all of them have that on some level. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, just a slightly different take on the world. Maybe that's what caused you to be depressed in the first place.
I think that is it.
You think so?
Because I think when you're depressed, you think about things differently. And once you think about things in that way, it's hard.
You can't go back.
Yeah. Not that all depressed people think the same way, or, but I mean, as I was listening to you talk and trying to think about how I would answer that, I would have said that my difference from, like, my family and people that I know, or some people that I know, would just be, like, growing up, I think I was just always depressed, so.
Yeah, well, I guess it's, I've always found the minutiae of life to be meaningless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that's really, like, the bottom of it. People are interested and invested in the details of their lives, and I'm like, who fucking cares? Let's talk about dying alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that made me depressed, because I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A sports team winning, for example, didn't make me happy or something like that. Not to mock sports or anything, but that's just. But I'm just not invested in things like that.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? Because I love the Chargers, like, so much. And when they win, I'm like, cool. Like, I don't really feel that much when they win. But when they lose, I'm like, I'm about ready to cry. Like, everything. So it's strange. I don't know. God. Nothing really gets.
It's good. Like drugs bringing you back to normal.
That's what it is. Yeah. But I think we've talked about that before. Like, nothing really makes me excited or, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm similar. I don't think I'm as extreme as you are, but I don't. I mean, what was the example we used?
We were in a bar and people were, like, cheering along to a song, and I was like, never in my life has.
Yes, I remember. We were at Blarney Stone, right?
And where else would we be?
Yeah, there was this band playing, and they were singing some sort of shanty or something where people were supposed to sing along, and people were loving the hell out of it. And I, you know, we were both watching this, like, good that they're happy, but these people are enjoying this more than I think I've enjoyed anything.
It was really bizarre.
And I don't think they were even doing anything that unusual. They were just like, oh, they're a little tipsy and having a good time with this live music.
But I did not understand it.
But yeah, it was like watching animals or something.
Yeah.
Some people are just more expressive than others. I don't know if that necessarily means that they're enjoying it more than you enjoy things.
But I don't feel like I'm not expressive. Like, I
just mean with certain like emotions. Like, I don't. I don't know. I just feel like a person being so outward about their enjoyment of it doesn't mean that they're enjoying something more than.
No, they were enjoying it more.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's kind of like, I've had situations where people feel like I'm not enjoying myself or I'm not feeling something that I am feeling just because I'm not super expressive about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's always been very annoying to me. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, my emotions are just as valid as yours. You just happen to show them more than I do.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, I identify with that as well.
I'm not saying that this was the example. I'm not saying you guys were enjoying it as much as they were. But I'm just saying like those people might just be better about getting super excited publicly.
Well, they were also much drunker than we were.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
At that point in time.
Let's fix that. Yeah. More champagne. Right.
I think that's
slamming a mimosa. But I mean, I guess when I get drunk, I'm friendlier. I hug people more. Mm-hmm. But I'm not.
Alcohol makes me so happy.
I think it's the only. Yeah.
No, it's great, right?
It's the only way I can like touch people.
That was so sad.
No, but I get like.
I know. So I kind of know what you mean. Yeah, I hug people more too when I'm drinking.
Yeah,
I hug people sober.
I will.
Me too now, but not before.
I hug you every time I see you.
I hug so many people more now that I'm doing comedy.
Yeah, that's true. Comics like to hug a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are Matt Lockwood. All doing this, I feel like?
Oh, I just got, well, I have the mimosa.
You guys can sit wherever you want.
Yeah, everyone's leaning forward like away. We're getting ready to do something.
You do whatever you're comfortable with, so. Okay?
That's
terrifying, okay. I regret saying that. Right, so okay, well let's pass the question on to you. Do you feel like you're kind of out of place in most groups?
I don't know that I would say out of place because I've always made friends very easily, and like a lot of the friends that I've had, I've had for years and years and years. But I feel uncomfortable and detached most of the time. Like whether anybody would notice or not is not for me to say. I don't mm-hmm. think that they would, but I feel like I'm not. I don't think I'm masculine by any means, but I don't feel particularly like girly. So when I hang out with my friends that are, I feel weird or like I feel like I don't know, like uncomfortable in my own skin, I guess. Like I said, I'm not very affectionate, and girls can be like they want to hold hands or like they want, and like my friend, like I just don't do that. So I feel like they think that I'm like closed off, or it's just like I just don't feel the need, you know, like I don't know, like I'm not a very warm person, I guess, like not that I'm not nice, but I don't know, I think so much of me, like when I hang out with people, it's hard for me to feel like a connection or like an mm-hmm. attachment to them, even like friends that I've had for a very long time. So I do feel like kind of like uncomfortable or aware of myself and aware of like what I'm thinking a lot and like very just like analyzing the whole situation too much to actually be like super involved in what's happening. And then I also start to like, if I get excited about something or like if I'm having fun doing what I'm doing, then I'll have a moment where it hits me where I'm like, everything's pointless. And then I just get like right back where I am again. So
do you think like this, your outlook on life kind of in a certain way help, like is difficult for you to connect with groups of people that don't understand the way that you think about the world? Or do you usually hang around with people that understand the way that you think about things?
I have like a mixed group. Like I can yeah. think of people that I'm friends with who are so different from me.
Yeah.
And
do you like say things that make your friends worry about you sometimes?
Yes.
No, I don't think that I do because I'm really like I'm good at knowing, you know, like this is I think for as long as I can remember, I think probably even as a child I felt like this. So, you know, I'm good at being depressed in a way that like people who I don't specifically say like I'm a depressed person probably wouldn't have.
But
any
you don't
idea.
Think that's a barrier between you and other people that you can't just say that you're feeling this really dark or negative thing or
I
think this very dark and negative thing about something?
I don't feel like it is because I don't feel like it's something that I'm hiding. Like I feel like I've always had like a really fucked up sense of humor. I don't hide that from people. Like, and you know, I say things that are morbid sometimes, and they come off as a joke. Like I don't hide that. Yeah. But you know, it's something that I've lived with for so long. It's not like when I go out with people, I feel the need to be like, "This sucks."
Well, yeah,
like,
I
you
get
know,
that.
So. It's very easy for me to assimilate, like, into the world and, like, people. But, and I mean, some days are better than others. It's not, but I'm never happy. It's funny. It's funny. My friend, I was talking about how I really wanted to go to Disneyland, probably back on the show when I was trying to get you guys to go to Disneyland. And I think I might have been
yesterday.
What?
I was just there yesterday.
Okay. Do you have your measles vaccination?
I don't think so, no.
Do your children? Right
now. Yeah, they do. They got them like a couple, like last week, I think.
But I was telling my friend Stephanie, I was like, I really want to go to Disneyland. And she's like, why? And I was like, I like Disneyland. She's like, I would not think that you would like Disneyland. And
yeah,
it's
like,
true.
And she was like, I was like, do you not think I like fun? She's like, no, you just don't like happiness. And I was like, yeah.
Does that bum you out? Because I had something like this happen to me recently that really just fucking put me in like a weird mood where a friend of mine was telling me about this thing that happened with her. And I was like asking her questions and questions and questions. And she was getting more and more upset the more questions I asked. And then when my wife talked to her later, she's like, oh, you know, David was just doing his thing, you know, being like a huge dick and criticizing me for my. That's really a big bummer that people think. That's what I mean. Like that, the fact that they don't understand your thoughts and your intentions on things, is that the fact that you have like this perception of yourself that people like have of you. Like, does that? That's I mean, because I know what you mean. I'm not like you guys are just talking about me possibly being a very depressed person, mm-hmm. and I don't feel like I show that to most people. But I also can't have conversations with my coworkers or my family, or a bunch of other people that about my view, everybody thinks if I say that life is meaningless, that that's like a terrible thing. So I try to avoid telling people that.
Yeah.
Even and though that's exactly what
I hate when people say like, don't think like that. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not even sad when I'm telling you that, but it just is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I'm not saying this like life is meaningless and I want to die. It's just like, that's a fact.
Yeah.
In my opinion, there's no meaning to anything, and people can say it's love or God or whatever. Ugh. But I mean, sure, love. I mean, I'm gonna rule out God. Like, love is great, and that's fine. But what I don't understand how that attributes meaning to life.
Yeah, I was thinking about that specific thing the other day. Like, people talk about love as if it's this.
Like, why we were put here. Like,
yeah. I mean, love is good. Maybe it's the best thing that
I
there
agree.
Is.
I agree. It probably is the best thing about being alive, but that doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't make it magic.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't create meaning in a meaningless universe just because it's nice.
It's a part of the universe that means nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I know what you... Like, that does not... That is... That's a... That makes me happy.
Uh-huh.
These... Like, having these conversations are difficult to have with most people because they get bummed out about
it. Right, yeah.
They don't want to talk about it. Like, I had a friend that went through his first serious heartbreak recently, but he can't even bring up the girl's name because he'll start, like, fucking crying. And I was like, I want to have a conversation, but like, you can't. You're incapable of it. I want to talk about all the things that hurt. and be okay with them. But it seems like it's difficult to have those types of conversations with a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely true. People don't.
I feel like the dumber the beer person is, is the less likely that they like to wounded and tough.
Yeah, I mean, there are just some people that just don't get it. And, you know, honestly, I can't say that, like, I haven't ever felt, like, even though I do, maybe this is a negative way to think or, like, it's not true, but I do feel like people who are not as smart don't think about things in that way, or, like, people who are smart have a tendency to be a bit more, like, depressed. And I've felt envious for people who, like, literally just don't, these aren't things that they care about. Like, I don't think that I would change the way I think for anything.
Yeah.
And, but it, you know, some, it's hard.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I don't think negatively of anybody. I love people. I'm one of those people that hates humans and hates the world and hates all that. I love people and I love the world, but I feel so often feel out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Except, I guess, around other comedians and a couple of other people like that. There's some exceptions to that. But I feel like for the most part, like whenever I want to try to talk about this stuff, that's just the way my brain works. It's the thing that just comes out naturally to me. It seems like people, for the most part, in my experience, have been like, that's weird and you're weird for thinking that way.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, like, with anybody in my life who probably doesn't think the same way that I think, I don't really feel the need to, like, have, like, super deep conversations with them. Like, I have different friends that fit different needs. And, like, the friends that I do have that I don't get super deep with, I guess, like, they still know me well. And I guess that their interpretation of me is like, oh, Brittany's so blunt. Like, Brittany's so honest. Brittany's kind of mean. Like, that's funny. And I'm like, okay.
Doesn't that ever feel like a waste of time to you, though? Like, no offense to those people, but, like, I have so little time to give around right now that it's just, like, you know, if you don't want to have these conversations, like, I really just don't have time for it because I am very busy.
Yeah. It's just, like,
not me fucking around. Like, I'm extremely busy.
Yeah. But that's not what I need to talk about all the time. Like, I can talk about their life and, like, I can tell them what's going on in my life without having to get, like, you know, talking about dying. Like, sometimes it's nice to just have somebody easy, you know, but, yeah.
I hate it when people ask me what's going on in my life. I really do.
I really like talking about myself, actually.
I don't mind talking about, I don't know, my thoughts on things. I think I enjoy that. And I enjoy hearing what other people think about this kind of stuff, even if I don't agree with them.
Yeah.
But when people say, so what did you do for the last week? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Oh yeah.
Probably the same thing I always do. I went to work. I did comedy. I slept.
Yeah.
Probably watched some TV, played some video games. Who cares?
Yeah, the worst is, like, not seeing someone for a while, and they're like, hey, what's new? And it's like,
that makes you feel real shitty.
Yeah. But, you know, but being part of comedy is you do a lot of the same thing. Like, you're progressing, but you do the same thing every fucking, you know? So it's kind of like, well, still doing the comedy thing. Okay. End of conversation.
But don't you feel like it's weird? Because everybody kind of does the same thing for an extended period of time. And anytime anybody says, like, oh, what's new? What's going on? I'm like, not much. What about you? Like, they always have something new.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, that's probably why they ask. So I guess it's not weird.
It's why they ask. Yeah. But
they have a new girlfriend or something. Yeah. Yeah. They want to brag.
Yeah.
I got promoted. I'm like, oh, I'm.
Same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. Same exact thing. I wouldn't trade places with you for anything, though. Like, I never get jealous of that kind of stuff. People who have, I don't know, traditional accomplishments. People who get promoted at work. If they tell me that, I'm never like, oh, really?
Nope.
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're still gonna die, though, right?
I'm really gonna pretending.
If they said no.
Then I'm just checking. Because if they say, no, I'm not dying, I'm like, oh, you guys hiring? that would be such a good job.
Yeah, most of the time it doesn't even make me feel bad about myself about what I'm doing. It makes me feel bad about myself in, like, regards to being able to keep up a conversation.
Yeah, I feel guilty.
Like, nothing.
I'm like, God, I shouldn't be this bored right now.
Yeah.
But I am. I'm super bored.
I think I'm really good at conversations when they're about things I can't, like we said, I cannot do small talk. I think some people have probably like had interactions with me where they're like, she is the most socially awkward person I've ever met in my life, because it was just all small talk. And I go so far out of my way to avoid it. Like, yeah. I would park in places that it cost more for my work just so I didn't have to deal with like a parking tenant, because I didn't want to have to talk to him, because he would talk to me every time I left. And I couldn't do it.
Yeah. But so for the most part, you have a pretty easy time blending in with everybody.
The norms.
Seemingly. Yeah.
She's a daywalker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to say that without making it seem like people are like these.
No, yeah.
Outside of this group are like these weird people.
I'm being slightly sarcastic.
That's the case. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't share interest with them, but I don't think. I definitely don't want to come across like, I think people who don't talk about this stuff are dumb or boring.
Yeah.
We just don't have much in common, so yeah. I'm not that interested in having a, you know, important relationship with them. That's yeah. all there is to it, really.
Word. What about you, Ryan?
And I look down on him.
What about
me? Well, how do you deal with people, I guess?
Do you feel out of place?
You know what?
Or do you feel like anything about your psychology is somehow different from the people that you associate with on a regular basis, not counting comedians?
That's the thing, is that I think I have a little bit of flip, because I feel
less like you're happy
with comedians than I do with normal people. Just because, like, what are you doing?
I don't know if you guys can hear me shaking my head.
This is how I feel.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just disappointed.
No, I agree with you 100%.
What do you mean?
Because you always seem jovial. And I know that doesn't mean anything. It could just be like an outward, like very
Mexican.
Happy. And like,
it means
you know, you could just be putting that on, but I, you know, I'm friends with you, and I feel like you are more positive.
I'm a simpleton, you know.
No,
I'm just a guys. The meaning of life is God. All right, don't do this.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
I mean, here's the thing. Okay, but here's my problem. Here's my struggle. Is that maybe I have less connection with comics and, you know, more kind of depressed people, but I like them so much more. Do you understand?
Aww.
Like, I love hanging out with them, and I hate normal people, but I have more connection with them. I feel more comfortability with. That's the thing, is that I'm a little more uncomfortable with that, you know, with like saying hanging around comics, just because I don't feel as clever as witty, and so they make jokes, and then I'm like, I don't know if I can keep up, but and I get really awkward.
Well, I can't do that
either.
Why
did you make that noise?
I can't do that either. I can't be the jokey guy with group of comics.
Yeah, and so you know, there's certain people that, you know, like I do feel a little more. Some comics I do feel a little more uncomfortable with, just because they just like to be people, and that's totally fine. But I do like being around the ambience of jokey people, because they make me laugh and it's really fun and I like them a lot. But, you know, and then with, you know, just you know, the day walkers, you know, they're just you know, I just, it's easy to connect with them just because they're you know, they're not trying to be clever or anything, and or they're not, you know, trying to be funny and it's fine, you know, that's okay too, you know, but it's just, I don't like them as much, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where I kind of have the situation flipped, where, you know, I feel more comfortable with people who I don't like, you know, which is ironic. And so yeah.
Well, I think you probably feel less pressure to impress them.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's part
Do
of it.
Do you think that ever holds you back? The fact that you want people to.
There's some aspect, yeah. Like,
like, if you didn't give a shit, do you think you might?
I think I'd be. I mean, that's part of what I'm working on right now. Just because, like, that's why I'm kind of trying to be adamant on going to Till 2, because you know, Till 2 is an ambience where like material's not gonna work, because it's all comics. We all heard our shit, and I had and one of my biggest weaknesses in comedy is just kind of riffing and just being on stage, you know. That's why, like, Fun Mug, I was so bad at Fun Mug. I was, like, the fucking worst at Fun Mug. And I still have a fear of Till 2. Like, it's a fear I have. Like, I will show up and not go up sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the fear is so crippling to me. And but it's a weakness that I'm working on, and I'm starting to get there. And it comes, that fear comes with impressing people, that fear comes with comfortability, you know, which is also just, aspects that are outside comedy as well, you know, outside of the stage.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm trying to work on it, but it definitely has its crippling moment, but I'm working on it. So, yeah.
So what about, like, relationships? How do those work out for you guys?
Straight to Jake.
How does like a relationship conflict with your pursuit of whatever you're doing, and also with just you, who you are as a person?
Well, really, only had one relationship since I started comedy.
Okay, what about before that?
Before that, I mean, it didn't conflict with anything, really. I mean, it was more...
The biggest serious relationship before comedy.
Longest?
Yeah, or big, like most important. Most significant.
Yeah.
MSBC.
What? So,
never mind, go ahead. Most significant. Oh.
Okay. No, that was my bad. That was my fault. Yeah, I mean, is your question why it didn't work out or what the deal was?
Let's just go with why didn't it work out.
A lot of reasons, I guess, but I think I lose interest pretty quickly. Like, there's a line in Mad Men where somebody's, like, Don Draper's breaking up with somebody, and the girl says, "You only like the beginnings of things." And I'm like, "Wow, yeah, wow, that's sad." Yeah. I identified with that. And it wasn't like I was, you know, too cool for them or whatever. I just got tired of being supportive and being emotionally available. It wore me out, and I stopped doing it, and then they broke up with me.
Yeah. Oh, so you got dumped.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, so hard. So, yeah, I mean, it's... Maybe it goes back to laziness, but in the beginning, it's great, and then after about 6 months or so, it's just sort of, I don't know, I just pulled the number out of the air, but it gets less fun, and it becomes work, and I immediately tune out. I'm like, yeah. Hopefully this will work itself out.
Mm-hmm. What about post-comedy?
Well, I don't want to do anything except go to shows and hang out with comics. Like, that's what I want to do pretty much every single night. So I would, if I were with someone that ever wanted to do anything but that, I would say no. I'm going to go hang out with comics or do a show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the reason that was part of the reason I ended my previous relationship was because of that. And that's the main reason I'm not at all looking for anything right now, because that's way too much to ask. I mean, what am I even looking for at that point? Like, I want to never have any obligation to hang out with you at any time. That's not a relationship, really. Yeah. I just want to hang. I like the hang more than I like love.
Do you like the hang more than you like performing?
That's such a good question.
Definitely.
You're welcome.
I think it's more enjoyable, but performing is more important to me. Like, performing, even if you kill, I mean, if you kill, it's more fun than the hang. But you usually don't kill.
Yeah.
I usually don't kill. It's usually, you know, if it's somewhere between okay and a bomb, and it's like, okay, I did that. I got it behind me. Now I get to hang out with people. Which is really, you know, what I actually enjoy. But the performance part is, I mean, if that wasn't a part of it, it wouldn't be as fulfilling to me. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be nearly as fulfilling, I think.
Respectable answer.
Thank you. I feel like I nailed it.
So what would it take for you to be able to get into a relationship now? Like, what would have to happen for you to want?
She'd have to be super hot.
How hot?
Oh, like Scarlett Johansson hot. It would have to literally be Scarlett Johansson. No, I don't even know, because I guess a year ago I might have said I would have to date a comic, but
no.
But, you know, even that, I don't know. I honestly don't. I can't think of anything that would change that for me and make me want to pursue something.
Yeah,
because it would probably bother you if you were dating somebody who wanted to go to shows and hang with you every night too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would hate that.
Yeah.
Probably.
Do you think you need somebody that would be equally passionate about something else, or do you think that would conflict with?
I want to date somebody that doesn't want to hang out with me. That's what I want. Yeah. I guess I want a long distance relationship where she doesn't feel compelled. I don't know. I mean,
you got plenty of time during the day, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I will.
Picking up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I will have time during the day after I am finished with this job, but I'll be working, you know, be driving Lyft. But even that, I don't. Okay. Yeah, I'm so used to being single that the idea of being in a relationship seems like work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I have no interest in putting effort. Like, it's enough for me to, like, drag myself out of bed and drag myself to clubs when I don't feel like going, to go, like, it's so much work to go to Shooters. You know what I mean? That's enough work for me that I'm not, I just don't. Yeah, I guess what it is, I want someone who doesn't care if they hang out with me or not.
Yeah.
That's what I need. And that's a weird request to have, to ask someone at the beginning of a relationship. Like, I want to hang out sometimes, but I never want you to want to hang out when I have something that conflicts. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a tall order. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, if sometimes you don't feel like going out, then wouldn't that be like the perfect excuse to not go out?
Yeah, but well, when I was talking earlier about like spending all day watching TV or whatever, I meant the daytime. Once it's like 7 and I've wasted the day, then I feel like I need to go somewhere and go. Like, if we weren't doing this, I would definitely either be hanging out at the store or doing Kumite and doing Shooters, even though I'm probably not going to enjoy doing Shooters. But that wasted day feels fine as long as I accomplish something by the end of the night.
Because
I'm really shitty during the day. Like, I'm useless before 2 p.m. That doesn't even start.
Yeah.
But at nighttime, that's when I feel like I need to go accomplish things. Even if I'm a fucking bomb. Like, that's, I feel better about that. A million times better than that, about that, than, you know, staying in, crushing some Nazis or whatever in Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
That would depress me. I could do that like once in a while, but at a certain point.
Can you?
No. No, I don't think I can.
What a
brutal.
Brittany, what about you? Relationships?
I mean, well, we've talked about this a lot, but
in case our listeners are curious.
Yeah, well, because we're making that your short film together, which is about relationships. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. Like, I'm trying to figure out where I'm at, because where I was when I was like 17 is so different from how I am now, I guess. Like, not only have I ever loved one person, but I've only ever liked one person, same person, obviously. Yeah. And with him, it was, like I said, I met him when I was 17. I was horrible. Like, I was so needy. I wanted to be around him all the time. Like, every day that I wasn't with him, it was just like a filler day, which I think has a lot to do with, like, I hate to keep harping on this, but like being depressed and really not having anything else. And like, he made me feel something. So I wanted to hold on to that. And then when that didn't really like work out, I mean, we like were on and off from like 17 to 20. and now I'm 25. Like, I am so the opposite of anything I was then that mm-hmm. it's really bizarre to me. Like, I find it impossible to like anybody or feel connected to anybody or, thank you, or, like, I mean, I always sort of felt like this before, too, but anytime, like, I sort of am interested in somebody and then they show interest back, I start to feel, like, sick to my stomach about it. Like Jake was saying, like, after 6 months, like, I can't even go on, like, a date with somebody without feeling, like, obligated to them and claustrophobic. Like,
yeah,
I've gone on dates with people recently where, like, I just wanted to cancel the whole time. And then where people, like, I'm like, he's attractive. Like, he seems cool. But, like, this is something that I now have to do, and I can't bring myself to do it. Mm-hmm. And, I went, and I liked him. He was, you know, like, everything that you think somebody should want in a guy, and I was attracted to him. But I just feel nothing. Like, I just feel nothing for people. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. that sounds so bad. But so it's just interesting because I know that I'm capable of feeling it and I have, but right now I feel like it's
something. Do you think you did, or you're saying that it was a weird time? So was that really?
I think what
think it, you actually experienced no, it, or do you think that was just you?
I think what it was that because even before him, like in high school and stuff, I would feel like that. I would like guys, and as soon as they liked me back, I would feel guilty and sick and like, obligated, and I felt like I had to get out of the situation, but I felt bad because he knew that I liked him initially, yeah. And then I was like, fuck, I let him on, and I didn't mean to because I thought I did. Like, that was something that always happened to me, and then I met this guy, and the same thing kind of happened to me a little bit at first with him, but he was always so unavailable that I think that that's the only thing that kept me around long enough to actually start to, like, care about him. So I think if at any point he was emotionally available or, like, anything like that, I think the same thing probably would have happened to him. So I think with him, it was just sort of like a fluke that it went on as long as it did.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good thing, any of it, you know. But I did definitely feel those things for him. So I feel like – I mean, I hope that it's not the case that any situation I get in the future would have to be really dysfunctional. But, it's a lot easier being, you know, I don't feel lonely. Like, it's a lot easier just being alone. And I don't know. I don't want to be alone forever, obviously. Yeah. But I don't know that I want to, like, get married or.
What do you think it would take for you to want to try a relationship?
I really, like, it's so hard to say because. Like, my problem isn't like Jake's where, you know, there's something I want to spend all my time doing and somebody would get in the way of that.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. Like, I would just have to, like, I would have to like somebody so much that it would, I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to fix the problem that I have of, like, not feeling like I'm connected to somebody mm-hmm. or, like. And, like, being affectionate with people makes me feel really uncomfortable. Like, I feel like I'm doing it wrong. If there's, like, a way to do it, I feel like I'm doing it wrong. Like, and then I start to become very, like, awkward and aware of myself. And, like, I feel like, you know, I don't know. It's all hard for me, I guess.
So, I mean, if you don't have any, like, huge drive pulling you away right now,
mm-hmm.
if you find something like that, is it going to be, like, pretty much impossible for you to try a relationship if you have a thing? Because right now you don't have, like, a huge thing pulling you away.
Mm-hmm.
But so if that, what if you were to find something like that, or you were to start to pursue something heavy like that, do you think the person that you were with would have to be equally that way? Or do you think it would help more to have somebody that's more grounded to kind of, like, I don't know, help you out with?
I mean, I would definitely never want to be with somebody that was, like, super needy. So if I was with somebody, they would have to be, I would want, I guess, if I liked somebody, it's hard for me to talk about it because I feel like I just really don't care, you know, but if I guess if I got to a point where I really liked somebody, I would want them to want to spend time with me.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want them to want to spend time with me more than I wanted to spend time with them.
Yeah.
So.
What is the closest you've gotten to something since that?
Since that guy? That
big relationship.
Nobody really. Nobody? Like, I guess there are people who probably thought that I liked them. Like, we had, like, a little thing. Not, like, but it was all, like, it was, I guess, somebody that I was, like, pretty good friends with. But we were friends. And I liked him in that way. But I didn't feel, like, really romantically towards him. And,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't to me either. So it wasn't like anybody got hurt or anything. But, I mean, nothing, really. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I don't know. What do you feel? Do you feel? What do you feel about relationships?
In general, like with yeah, just other in general. People or
yeah, just in general.
I don't have like a negative feeling about them. I really like. I don't really feel anything about them.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be in a relationship that I wanted to be in. But so far that hasn't happened for me yet. So I don't feel sad about it, and I don't feel negative about it. Or
yeah.
You know, I don't. Yeah. I don't really care. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. Oh. Cool. I think a lot of you with like what we're working on this thing right now, mm-hmm. and what I'm trying to tell people through the short film is that all that stuff that people like about relationships is bullshit. So mm-hmm. if you don't feel that way about something, that doesn't mean that. There's not a possibility that you could get into a relationship or fall in love or, you know, any of that stuff. Because not that doesn't last. That doesn't yeah. have to be the thing that keeps you from getting into anything. So that's, you know, do your thing. But just know that there's, like, that's not anything to hold you back from that, I don't think. Because I have, I think to most people it's weird. That I'm married.
Yeah.
Especially
because it is
like,
weird.
Yeah. It's weird because if you hear me talk about anything, it just doesn't add up.
Right.
Nor does my relationship, like even my wife doesn't understand it most of the time. But it's just like,
well,
you
that's
don't have
the
to
struggle,
be like everybody else.
But that's the struggle. Your partner
yeah.
wants you to be that way. Like when you get in a relationship with somebody, they want.
But maybe if you're with a certain person, they kind of accept at least half of that, and then the rest of it is you work on it to help them not get everything that they want,
yeah.
but at least some of the things that they want.
I guess my thing is like I don't care enough to have to want to do that.
Yeah,
like I would just rather be alone.
But if you feel like the other person is helping, you're bettering each other
mm-hmm.
by giving up some stuff and helping them by them giving up some stuff, then it's less difficult to do those things if you feel like they're. Fulfilling a certain part. You're doing stuff that you don't like, but you're doing it because you're getting better at something and vice versa. It's got to be like a...
compromising?
Yeah, that's the, I think that's the big thing. So, Raul, what about you, man? What's your love
this
life?
Better be
like?
Sad.
what was your last serious this. Relationship?
Oh.
Last... what? The last serious relationship. I was in a relationship with a married woman. Mm. It was my last serious relationship.
She was married and you were dating her?
Yes.
Okay.
Still is married.
Still is married.
The same person?
Huh? Yeah, the same person. Okay.
But they were kind of broken up at the time, right?
At the time, they were going through a divorce. And so naturally. As all divorcing women do, they decide to attach to me. No, it's just so she was someone that I dated for during high school, and we've kind of, you know, kept in touch over the years, and then we've always kind of like just had a certain amount of chemistry, and so it always kind of like, you know, it eventually led to a point where I'm like, oh, you're getting divorced? Fuck it. You know, like, why not try this out?
Yeah.
And things went wrong after a while. And
in what way?
Um, every, I don't know. No, I don't know. It's actually hard for me to pinpoint because things went wrong in the sense that she had a lot of expectations. She has kids. And so, of course, she would expect me to like kind of like fill in that father role or whatever, you know, to these kids. And I'm like, that's kind of, I'm obviously not ready for that, you know. And, you know, like I barely feel like an adult. And so I don't think that, you know, I could have filled that role. I don't think that like there was a point where, you know, I was over so much where I was pretty much living in her house with the kids. And so I'm like, I don't know if this is for me, you know. I don't know if it was something that, you know, like that I would want even eventually. You know, I definitely don't know if I want it now.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was definitely kind of a big thing. So it was just partly of her expectation of me trying to fill up these roles that I'm not ready for. And she's
blonde.
Yes, she was blonde.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, Brittany?
She's crazy.
She said it. I didn't.
She is.
It's just, yes. She's
well,
crazy.
I mean, the reason you're being somewhat delicate is she's kind of.
She's crazy enough to listen to this.
She might listen to this. She's also sort of a hanger-on to the comedy community.
True. Also that.
Got a lot of mutual friends on Facebook.
Mutual friends.
You know what
Which
the thing
is, weird.
Is, though? I liked her at first, but she is somebody that, like, she makes up a lot of stuff. Like, she would make up conflicts.
Yes, yes. And that was definitely a big thing where, like, she had a strong sense of jealousy. But it wasn't even just that. She would just warp something that would happen to the point where, like, she would be upset at something that didn't happen.
Oh, my God, yeah. I just remember that she thought that you two dated.
Yes. And but she was so convinced that.
Oh, God, this is.
So of course, you know, like, so she didn't want me to associate with Brittany at all. And we had.
Naturally.
You know, yeah, of course. So it's just kind of like just. But that's. And it's not even just that. Just even one time, you know, bringing a friend over and she'd be like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of. It's just a lot of things, you know.
But like things would happen where she was specifically told, like, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then she. Like, okay, so I think she asked Jake,
yeah,
did Brittany and Raoul ever date? Yeah. And Jake said no. Yeah. And then.
Which is true.
Yeah. And then she was like, Jake said you and Brittany used to date. And I think she really believed that. Like, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how much of a liar she was. She convinced her of that kind of stuff. She convinced herself of that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was completely unambiguous when she asked me. I'm like, no, they never dated.
Yeah.
But according to her,
what she heard was you going, and then lying about it so you can cover it up. And so she's like, Jake told me. But you fess
that's
up.
That's how he even always talks.
Well, okay. Even if I lied about it, that's not the same thing as me confirming. In fact, that's sort of the opposite, I would say. That, I forgot
how
mad.
Who are you explaining this to? Yeah. Me?
Like, no, I to the audience.
Okay.
I forgot how mad I was about that. Because there's a long time where I was like, maybe I should confront her and be like, hey, why are you telling Raoul that I said something that I didn't say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't do it. Maybe I will next time I see
her. It wouldn't be worth it.
Well, it might be worth it because she would get really mad at me and not want to talk to me again.
Oh, that might be true.
Because she wants to talk to me every time she sees me. I hope she listens to this. Kate, I don't like you. I didn't say her name, but I don't care for you. Please don't ever speak to me. Okay, go on.
I was just going to say, like, stuff like that is always very funny to me when girls get mad about guys and their friends, because like Raoul and I were good friends for, I mean, I guess he knew her since high school, but him and I were good friends before they started like talking again seriously. Mm-hmm. So if Raoul and I dated and Raoul and I had liked each other, we would be dating, you know, like she wouldn't.
Yeah. You were both single before you started dating her.
Yeah. So that sort of stuff just doesn't really make sense to me.
This must be super boring.
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm sure.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm still seeing her.
What wouldn't be surprised.
Weddings in May. Spring wedding.
Was that your most serious relationship?
Recently, yeah. I mean, all my relationships have been long committed. Really, like she was actually one of the shortest relationships I had, but the most recent.
She stood out.
Yeah, yeah, and she's still around. She's people see her. Some people might know who I'm talking about. And some we're like, oh, I guess it's that person. But yeah, she was. But I've always had kind of like long committed relationships. Like one, you know, I did for a couple of years. Another one, 3 years. You know. So
what happened with those?
Those. One of them was just very religious, and she wanted to get married and stuff, and I just kind of like not really ready for that. And plus, like I need space, and she's definitely one of those. She was one of those girls that like we need to see each other every single day, and we didn't actually like we dated for like almost a couple of years or so, like a year and a half or something like that. But the point is, we didn't actually have anything in common, really. Yeah. But, you know, but we were together really kind of out of habit and stuff. And I liked her. But, but
so there you can stay in a relationship even if things are not that
good. Yeah. fucking a beast out there, dude. Fucking the man out there. It's like, what?
So what's that all about? You just like being in relationships?
I do like being in relationships because when I'm out of them, I feel really lonely and unwanted. And so...
So do you plan on getting into another one anytime soon?
Do
you plan on it, but like do you that would something you'd be open to now?
I mean, yeah, I'd like to be in a relationship, but like I said, like my current feelings are no one likes me.
Yeah.
You know, and no one's interested, and so it's just kind of like, well, we'll see if that happens. Because
I don't know if the audience can hear me nodding right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, truth be told, my standards are so low. And so I can be like, yeah, anybody's fine, and then nobody's showing up to the plate. You know what I'm talking about? And so, so yeah, that's kind of how things are with me. I just, you know, I'm either in a long committed relationship or in a long drought.
So, but now that you're, chasing something, you think that's gonna cause any the way that your standards for relationships, if they were low before, are they gonna be higher now that you actually have something that you need to sacrifice in order to make time for a relationship?
Maybe two notches, you know, maybe like no. I mean that is my main priority, and so my main priority is is the comedy and you know me doing the things that I want to do, and so. I feel like a girlfriend would be distracting, and there's an obvious kind of known thing in the comedy universe where, like, yeah, relationships are bad for comedy,
because
they're so distracting and they're so, comedy needs to be essentially your lover and your full time fucking partner, and so
Schrader's pulling it off.
Yeah, Schrader's pulling it off pretty well, and I mean, and that's it. I think that's rare. And
what can't he do?
I know, that man, handsome man. And I think it's rare to find a partner like that. And but I mean, if you got it, great. But I mean, it's rare. And, I mean, it's rare for me to get a partner at all. So I don't know that I'll be getting the right partner. You know.
Well, I think he also early in the relationship established that you know comedy is going to come first.
He did on their first date.
Oh, that happened on their first date?
On their first date, the ACC called him to open for Stanhope, and he had to be like, I gotta go.
Wow. First date.
Now they're moved in
James
together.
James Schrader.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, you do it. So, yeah, well, you know, good luck, Ralph.
Oh, thank you.
All right, next question. Jake, are you afraid of death?
Yeah.
Why?
I like existing. Mm-hmm. It's like my number one. It's my jam. Yeah, and I don't want to not exist.
Yeah.
It's pretty standard. I don't know if that's really that interesting of an answer. But I believe with a reasonable amount of certainty that there's no afterlife.
Yeah.
And... that sucks. So I don't want to die because I don't want to be separated from existence. Yeah, I like hanging out with the people. That's all I want to do is hang. Can't hang if you're dead.
Yeah.
I'm very one-dimensional. I'm all about the hang.
What about all these arguments that people make about death not being terrifying. What do you have to say to that?
I say if it works for you, great. But I haven't heard one that's like even moderately convincing to me. You know, I don't think that. I don't have like a cosmic terror. Like, oh shit, this is all meaningless. I think you can make your own meaning in life. It's sort of an existential thing, but
this fucking hippie.
It's okay, fair. But yeah, that doesn't take away. Even if you have a very meaningful life, like, I don't remember where I heard this, but people were talking about Shakespeare, like, how he's basically immortal because he, you know, we still talk about him, he's still praised and remembered, but he's still dead. He's still dead. It's not doing him any good. He doesn't get, it's not like if we remember him long enough, he gets to come back.
Yeah.
There's no point system like that. And it would be great. Like, I would be very proud if I knew before I died that I made that much of a mark on the world.
Yeah.
But I'd still be so dead.
Yeah.
Be like 100% dead afterwards.
Yeah.
But that would be at least a little comforting to me, I think, in my final hours.
So it's not like a paralyzing fear then?
No, it's more of a bummer.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I think it sucks.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It
doesn't do much for you then? You just, like, get sad about it sometimes? Not even.
Yeah, I don't. It's not something I obsess over.
Yeah.
It's an uncomfortable truth. Or, I mean, it's what I think is the truth.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It's not ruining my life or anything. Maybe I haven't really fully accepted it. Maybe if I was really able to accept the weight of that, it would destroy me. But, yeah, right now I'm fine. Let's move on.
Brittany, you afraid of death?
Yeah, I'm terrified of it.
What about it?
Well, I guess, like Jake said, I'm pretty certain that there's nothing after. But even if there weren't, I've not yet found an explanation for what happens after dying that I like. Like, living forever is equally as terrifying to me. Being reincarnated is scary. I mean, I guess that would be the best thing that I could hope for.
Yeah. But you still wouldn't know.
Right. I mean, I know logically when you're dead, you don't know. I've already been dead when I wasn't born.
Oh, I mean, like, even if you were reincarnated, like, you'd still, you still wouldn't know that continued on.
Yeah, people say, like, you lose your ego or whatever, but that's pretty much all. Like, how is that comforting to people at all? Mm-hmm. It's somehow still you, but it's
not
a completely different thought pattern.
Yeah. Then it's not you.
It's a different guy.
So how severe is this fear?
I would say it's hard to say because I would say moderate. I mean, it's my biggest fear, but I can talk about it now and be okay about talking about it. But I have moments where it hits me. And, like, I feel it, like the weight of it hits me and I actually accept, like, fuck, like, I'm really gonna die one day. Mm. And then I, like, cry and I'm, like, panicking. And
yeah, that's pretty severe.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, it's not, like, you know, it's not, like, an all-day, every-day thing. But,
yeah.
It happens a lot while I'm, like, about to fall asleep.
What happens after that? When you're done crying and everything, then what?
Well, okay, so it happens a lot when I'm about to fall asleep or, like, if I wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So it's funny, like, it's not funny, but so it'll hit me and then I'll start freaking out. And usually, like, out loud, I'll be like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then I'll hit my mattress with my hands, like, just to, like, fucking, like, I can't, like, it's so overwhelming, like, the fear. And then I just sort of am, like, just fall asleep, like, just fall back to sleep, like, I don't want to think about it. Like,
yeah.
So I just have to, like, shove it out of my mind or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how you get over it, just by just trying not to think about it?
Yeah. I remember I saw a therapist once when I was, like, 14, and this was when I, like, really started to fully accept the fact that I was going to die one day. And that was probably when it was, like, most severe, because I was, like, crying for, like, days at a time without stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, your mind is like a radio station. You don't have to think about it if you don't want to. So, which is simple, and it's not like that's like the credo I live by every day. But when I start to think about that, I'm like, I'm not going to think about that anymore. Like, I don't want to think about it. So, you know,
yeah,
try not to.
So does that fear ever work as like
a motivator?
Yeah.
I try so hard to have it work as a motivator.
Yeah.
Like I actively try to be like, you're so afraid of dying. You think nothing matters. So who cares if you fail? Who cares if you embarrass yourself? Who cares if you're scared? But it doesn't work. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you prefer just get rid of it then? You could somehow get rid of your fear.
Yeah. I don't think it's like working in my favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you afraid of death?
No.
Come on, look at me. I'm wearing a Spock t-shirt, man. Come on.
Okay.
I have sleep apnea, so naturally I die every night. You know what? Not that bad. Not bad. No, I do fear death, but I just don't think about it. Like, yeah. I don't know. Just it's not really.
How do you turn that off?
You just stress about everything else. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just not. It's not really something I think about. Nice. And it's. I wasn't afraid of death when I was a kid. Though for some reason I was like a little megalomaniac, and I thought God would never let me die at the age that I was. I was like 9. And I remember hanging from buildings in like Puebla, Mexico, because I went to go visit one time. And I was like, and all the buildings are shitty, and like you wouldn't climb them and stuff. And I would just like, you know, climb them and just hang and stuff. And I remember thinking at the time, like, well, I'm not going to slip. That's impossible for me to slip right now. You know, because like, why would God allow this to happen? And then I was, and then later I was like, oh, I could die. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why God is dangerous.
And so yeah, I was a little fucking egotistical kid. So.
So now, what do you do with that?
Now I don't know. It's just like I said, I don't think about it at all. Like I'm never like, I don't wake up and I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna die one day. You know?
Is that your impression of me?
Yeah, that was Brittany. Hers run.
I do that same thing.
I mean, you know, thinking about it now, yeah, it's scary, but I mean, you know, it's an inevitability. And,
yeah.
And
what about it scares you?
Huh?
What about it scares you?
Just the, yeah, like you know, Jake said, the non-existing part. Like, hey, that would suck.
Yeah.
That'd be a bummer, not existing. And
so eloquent.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because, like, the idea of eternal sleep, you know, although, you know, when I say it that way, actually, that's kind of comforting. But just, you know, just blackness, a dark abyss of nothing. Yeah. That sucks because I want to do comedy. And I want to.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's just funny.
See, it's a reason to live.
Yeah. That's comedy is my reason to live. Yeah. And, you know, making little things and stuff. That's good. That's I don't know what I just said.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So am I afraid of it? Yes. Does it motivate me? In a sense, but like I said, my motivations are more, you know, family based and mission based, and so death is not, you know, something that is always consciously in my mind or anything.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't care, you know, about it.
Yeah, the problem with death is like it's not a fear you can talk yourself out of. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were afraid of spiders, you could reason with yourself and be like, I'm probably not going to get bit by a spider.
Yeah.
You can't do exposure therapy with that.
Yeah, exactly. Just be around a bunch of dead bodies. Be like, see, they're fine. God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really is nothing you can... There's nothing you can do. This is kind of a bummer. This whole...
God. What?
Yeah,
this is where it went too far.
Yeah, once we started talking about the inevitability of death, somehow that made me sad. Ugh.
You have a, stop being a low threshold, Jake.
We could keep talking about it. I'm not so sad that
that's
I can't.
That's as dark as it goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I wish I had more depressing things for you guys to talk about.
But is there a darker topic than that?
I don't know, maybe. Probably, but that's as much as I...
I mean, dying alone is the same thing, kind of. It's like a combination of death and relationship.
You're always going to die alone.
I don't
no
have a
what.
Fear of dying alone. Yeah, like you said, you're going to die
either way,
alone.
You're going to be alone. There's nobody's coming
with
you. Yeah,
because what if I die in a weird position? I don't want somebody to be looking at me.
Right.
Like, oh, why'd he move his face like that? He looks terrible.
Yeah, even if you, like, die, like, in someone's arms, you're still dying alone.
Yeah, they're still going to be like, this guy's really bald. No, not talking about anyone specifically, but just good to say.
Right. Yeah.
Do you guys like anything about yourselves?
Oh, positivity.
That is
we're going
funny question.
From the abyss to the sunlight.
I like how good I am at tolerating abuse.
You're very good at that.
Thank you. God, I don't know. There are things that I like hearing other people say about me more than other things, but I don't even like thinking positive things about myself. It makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. That's why I'm terrible at writing resumes. Any positive or praiseworthy thing, and it grosses me out.
Yeah.
But if people say, if other people, you know, give me some sort of praise, there are things that I'm like, yeah, you're right. And that make me feel better than other things.
Like what?
See, this is, you're trying to, that's a loophole. That's not going to work. Just start complimenting, and I'll tell you when you get to one.
Jag, you hold that mic really well.
No, that's not it.
Those pants?
Nope, not even close.
I got nothing.
Wow, that was the worst one.
Those are the two good things about me. I'm holding this mic okay, and these pants are fine.
So those cut it then.
You used to be one of my favorite people to watch a movie with because we would say things about the movie the whole time that were mean and funny.
I used to.
Well, we don't see movies.
Okay, yes.
All right. Brittany, what do you like about yourself?
You know, I really don't like this question. It's hard. It's hard for me to answer.
It's hard for everybody to answer.
No, I mean, it's hard for me to answer because I don't want to come off like
ego.
Conceited.
After all the negative things you said about yourself, I think you can say some positive.
Yeah,
things.
It's really funny because, well, the thing is, it's like those things that I said about myself, like, I don't feel bad about that. You know what I mean? So, like.
But you would feel bad if someone thought you thought highly of yourself?
I guess what? It's just. Maybe.
I'd fist bump you.
You know what? I wouldn't feel bad if somebody thought I felt highly about myself, but I would feel bad if somebody was like, ugh, why does she think highly of herself? There's a difference, I think.
I can see that.
Wow.
If somebody's
very
like,
specific.
For instance, like. Actually, I completely lost my train of thought. But, you know, at this, like I was saying, like, I feel like I'm really terrible at acting, but so much of me feels like when I do stuff, I'm like, no, I'm going to be, like, I'm going to be the best at it. Like, I'm going to be pretty fucking great at it. Yeah. Or, and I think I'm pretty self-aware, like, not to say that I can't be annoying, but I recognize when I am and I recognize when I've done something wrong or, like, I like that about myself. I think I'm funny. I'm okay with myself physically. Like, I don't know.
It's the most humble way to call yourself hot.
Yeah.
I'm okay with myself physically.
No, the thing is, like, I think I'm pretty. I think I'm pretty, but I by no means assume that everybody does, you know? So.
Just, like, a big percentage.
No, you know.
Just like all straight men.
I don't even think that. It's funny. Like, I think that I'm pretty, but, you know, like, if I were to go out with a guy and, like, meet his friends or, like, I would still feel like they would think, like, why is he with her? Which, it's a weird.
Yeah, they would be like, how did he do this?
Yeah, that's no, yeah, but the opposite of what Jake said. But, yeah, I don't know. It's very weird. Yeah. I have my days.
What are we answering?
What do you like about yourself?
Okay. I mean, I
that cool Spock shirt.
Yeah, it's looking dope. I mean, I like that. I at least have kind of a sense of ambition. You know, I try hard in things, and I do. You know, I do like that. Oh fuck, this is hard. Yeah, I that's my favorite part about myself, I think. I also like, you know, I try to be creative, and I think I have, in some sense, have been successful in being creative. I don't know. I'm fucking beast at karaoke. I'm really good at karaoke.
Oh, yeah, dude, he's really good. Yeah, he's a cool dancer, I'm way better than Matt Lockwood.
Ooh,
and,
like this.
Can we say his name today?
Yeah, taking him to task. He just texted me, and oh, I'm not texting him back.
I think that's about it. That's all I want to answer.
He's really good at like figuring out all of the places where MILFs hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cougar dens?
Yeah.
They're called cougar dens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Raul knows them all.
You know
them
I
all?
Know.
Yeah.
Do you like that about yourself?
what? My low standards. So good.
I don't think liking a cougar is necessarily, you know.
No, cougar has to be hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
You can't just be anyone over 40. That's not everyone's a cougar.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
no,
true.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know what to say.
That just is, it has to do with his dedication,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm just committed to these cougars, you know? No bullshit from me.
Yeah.
What do you like about yourself, David?
I'm not going to answer that. Do you guys have any questions for each other?
That question earlier about the hang and the performance was really good. I got to figure out a good question for Brittany.
What's your answer to that question?
I mean, the hang is hard for me. The hang is almost...
The hang is more... Is more pressure?
Is more pressure than the perform. Oh, hell yeah. Never looked at them. Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness.
Oh.
I have a question. Why are we doing this?
Just watched all of Fargo. So
the hang is way more pressure. So I do always enjoy performing. But that's enough. But I enjoy the hang. But the hang is more pressure. The hang is harder.
So, do you are there like specific short term goals that you have that are going to help you become an actress? Do you have things in mind that you want to do?
It's funny because I feel like as long as I feel like I'm doing something having to do with it, I feel okay about it. Like I'm not wasting my time. Like right now, I'm doing David's thing. After that. I'll probably start taking a class again, and then I'll probably, like, actually make myself audition for things, like, locally. The thing is, I don't even know how to, like, I could look it up online, like, how to make a resume for acting, you know?
Yeah.
But I have to have something to put on it, so.
No pressure.
I nodded, David. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel that you're, like, Where is your ambition then? Like do you feel where's the source of your drive exactly? You know, do you feel like you have it at all or do you have none?
I feel like I have a very little ambition or drive. The only ambition or drive that I have is that I don't, I just don't want to die never having tried to do something that I kind of want to do. You know. Mm-hmm. But on a day-to-day basis, I don't really have any ambition or, like, motivation or pull to do anything.
I feel like that's even sadder than the death conversation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
But I'm not a drag to hang out with, guys.
Yeah, don't let this podcast fool you.
Yeah.
I'm a real fun gal.
A real hoot.
That's what most people say.
A hoot.
So you never want to try comedy again?
I felt, you know, I was like surprised this didn't get brought up earlier. I don't know because other than the time that I did it last, the only time I thought of new jokes, this is like almost a year later, was when I was texting you guys about it like 2 weeks ago and I thought of like two new jokes. But that's a very,
granted
I wasn't trying. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess my fear is, like, I was even thinking during this conversation now, like, you know, I felt like when I did it, like, I did well. I guess if I knew that I would be able to consistently keep coming up with stuff, then it would be easier for me to commit to doing it.
I think you just need to fucking eat shit. Like,
that's what you told
that'll
me.
That'll probably, I think that'll help.
Yeah, David said that if, yeah. David said if I didn't do well my first time, I probably would have done it. Because
that's what it is.
It
it's like you do so, yeah. You do bad enough, you do good enough that it's like that glimmer of hope. Like, oh, maybe if I just do it this way. And it's like that consistently trying to figure out what the way to make it happen is. Mm-hmm. It's part of the thing that keeps you hooked.
Yeah.
It's like you want to quit, but you're like, whoa, but that one time I really killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're always going to be trying to recreate that time you did really well and what you did that time that you did wrong the other time. It's like part of the thing that makes it so exciting.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, when you kill your first time, it's just like there's no mystery left.
And Zoltan actually right. said that because Zoltan always talks about how he bombed his first time. And if he had done well his first time, he probably wouldn't be doing comedy now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. When you told me that, I mean, you're probably right.
You could have been the Zoltan, the female Zoltan. You but no, you did well, and you're like, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah. Leave on a high note.
Yeah. but I think, you know, I think, you know, if you were to actively try to do comedy, I think you do pretty well. I mean, I think the way you being a fan of comedy and you kind of already knowing how it works, you would have had such a bigger head start than most of the comics that are currently in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I bring it up often and I bring it up now, is because, you know, I think, you know, you have a potential, you know, and I like seeing people tap into that.
Aww, you should be a motivational speaker.
Yeah, quit comedy. Do that. Yeah, no, I agree with everything he just said. But I mean, for me, it's more like, I remember how miserable I was before I started comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So finding comedy has made me less miserable. So I can't imagine like killing for the first time and then being like, I find the one thing that made me happy, but I'm not that interested.
See, Raul wants me to tap into my potential, and Jake's just trying to prevent me from killing myself, I think.
Look, if that's a side effect of you starting comedy, great. No, but I mean, it can be a bummer, but it's, I don't know, it's motivation to better yourself. Like, for me, anyway. It's a reason to live. Which is a pretty big deal. Yeah, I would be super miserable if I didn't have that or something like we were talking about. Anyway.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much everything. If you guys have any other questions for each other.
No, I want to think of a good question for you.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to answer anything.
I'll answer it. I just don't want to talk about what I like about myself.
No, I wasn't going to ask that.
Yeah.
Guys?
I'm waiting on you. You seem to have it.
No, I said I want, but I don't
he
have.
He wants to, but he can't.
I don't think.
He's trying to get some backup from you guys.
Okay. Let's see here.
How's your wife? She's good? Yeah. Okay. All right, we can wrap it up now. I think that's
David, what do you love the most? What keeps you going?
Ooh,
what part of comedy?
No, just
I'm
in
trying
life,
to figure
like,
out.
What do you
I don't know. It should be general or should be comedy? They both seem pretty.
Let's do both.
Let's do both. Seems like a general and comedy.
In general? Fuck, I don't know. I would never say that. That'd feel so gross. No, I mean, what keeps me happy?
Yeah. What makes you happy, or what? And then what is, you know, this kind of the source of your motivation?
I think what makes me happy is feeling a little bit of self fulfillment. Whenever I have like a really productive day, I feel good about myself because I feel like I'm doing the most that I can with the time that I'm given. And whenever I don't do that, I feel really shitty about myself. So like if I do a bunch of errands and I hang out with my kids and then I go out to do comedy and, you know, or whatever. I mean, if I fit a lot of different types of things into a day, then I feel really good about myself, because that's the thing that really keeps me happy, is feeling like I'm using the time that we have. Because I am so terrified of death that every time that I think about Like I visualize the minutes, like when things are going really badly, like I visualize the minutes slipping away from me, and that terrifies me. So anytime that I'm like doing stuff that I feel is bettering me or anything like that, that makes me very happy.
Yeah, I love days where you do so much that they feel like multiple days.
Yeah. So you enjoy being a well-rounded person.
I guess, yeah, if you want to put it that way.
I do. I did.
What else are you looking to do? What more would you want to do?
I feel like I already am doing a lot.
Right, but I mean, if time wasn't a limitation.
More than I do now, I'd probably kill myself. Like, I would overload myself. It would just be too stressed.
So you do too much, you'd kill yourself. You do too little, you'd kill yourself.
Yeah, probably. There's a weird middle, yeah. No, I mean, I'm happy when I'm so stressed out with all the stuff that I have to do that I can't, like, have a moment to think. You know, when I, like, have to, like, message people about, like, hey, are we meeting up on this day? And I'm booking a show, and I'm like, yeah, right now I'm like booking a show, I'm doing this podcast, I'm filming a movie, doing comedy, work, kids, wife. I feel like I have pretty much good amount of stuff, but yeah.
I'm going to request that you also do Salt Your Own Popcorn.
If I could quit my job and just do those things, that would make me very happy. And I would be happy doing comedy and making some sort of, being some sort of filmmaker and doing a podcast.
Oh, yeah. If you won the lottery, what would you change about your life? You'd quit your job.
I'd just quit my job, and then I'd do those things. I'd pursue those things.
I like that. That's a good answer.
Those three things. Yeah. So. All
right. Well, thank you guys for coming.
Do you guys want to do your punsters thing that you used to?
Oh, no. No, I don't.
What are you talking about when we're at
the end?
The roll call. Nope. Okay. So,
I've been Rolls and Brenna.
I'm Brittany Hers Brenn. So weird.
Yeah, I'm Jake Disher. Have a great life. Also, fuck Matt Lockwood.
All right, guys, that was the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I definitely did. I really care a lot about these three people. All the punsters are really great. And Jake is a really great guy to talk to. I feel really good. He's so nice and so funny. And when we have conversations, he's always really good about calling me out on my shit in the nicest way possible, which is a difficult thing to do because he doesn't ever talk to me like he's trying to fix me, which is really nice. He's a great person to have conversations with. And I competed against him in the first round of the San Diego's Funniest Person recently and really admired just how good he is about really being there. And just, you know, he always is so natural on stage, and I admire that about him a lot. And then Raul is a really, really hard worker. I admire that a lot about him. He's got a lot of ambition. And, you know, and when he was running Spacebar show on Fridays for a little bit, he gave me a lot of stage time, and I'm very thankful to him for that. And, you know, obviously helping out with the punsters and everything, he obviously works on good things, so good job to you for that. And then Brittany, who I've been working with for a little while now, is great. She's very supportive of my goal. It always seems like she's being very attentive and you know, very thoughtful about the things that I'm telling her, and it's been great. She's been extremely delightful to work with. And I think it's really interesting just to note that despite her very dark views on her seemingly dark views on life sometimes, that she's still capable of being so nice and caring. Not that I think that that's surprising in any way, but I think it might surprise other people. And yeah, I thought I just mentioned that because I asked them at the end what they like about themselves, but I didn't tell them what I liked about them, and I really didn't want to have the episode without that included. So those are things that I like about all you guys if you happen to listen this far. Make sure you check out Raul's Monday night comedy show, The Comedy Cluster, at the Madhouse. And you know him and Jake are doing stuff frequently, so you can follow all of them on Facebook or Twitter, wherever they're at. And also check out those old Punsters episode, guys. Great. All right. See you later.
Hit me. Generals gathered in their masses. Get out of the way. Just like witches at black masses.